Hi, folks. Welcome to another American Spaniel Club Oral History Project podcast, where people share their history and we can preserve it for the future. My name is Charlie Bourne, and I'm your host again for today. And I'm pleased to have as our guest today Carl Anderson, who is very well known in the Cocker world for his 65 years of contributions as a breeder, a handler, and a judge, as well as a former president of the American Spaniel Club and local clubs as well. Carl, really warm welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
And glad to have you. And so in these podcasts, I have a series of questions that we sort of use to stir the discussion. And the first one is always kind of an obvious one. With 65 years in dogs, let's go way back to the beginning. And when did you become interested in Cocker Spaniels? Tell me more about that. Fill us in on that, please.
Well, let me preface this by saying that without Rosalie, there would be no Carl's Cockers and there would be no story to tell. But as a young girl, Rosalie's family had a Cocker. And when we got married, the first thing was we had to have a Cocker Spaniel. Well, Rosalie found a buff bitch at C.B. Van Meter Stockdale Kennels. We didn't purchase it. It was too much money for a young couple at that time. And we ended up with a pet store special. And that was a big mistake. But anyway, to go ahead 16 years ahead, I finished C.B. Van Meter's as a professional handler, his 100th champion. So that's kind of ironic in itself. But as far as the first one goes, it was Rosalie says she's created a monster, so here I am.
Hey, was Stockdale Kennels in Stockton, California? Is that where they were located?
Well, no, Stockdale was down here in Van Nuys. They were off of Sepulveda Boulevard, and we had the Wilco Kennels in our general area on Sepulveda Boulevard also. But to look at those areas today, you would never expect a kennel to be there, but there they were, and of course, Walter and Alice Vuko Kennels were very instrumental in our very beginning, and their advice to us at that time was to start with a good bitch, as you can breed to any dog in the country, and we did that, and we purchased a black and white cocker called Julie Calmio's July Girl, which Rosalie showed in obedience, and we did breed her to the great sire champion Wilco's Mr. Barnes. And out of that litter, we got our own Party Crasher, Champion Carl's Party Crasher, Champion Carl's and Moonlight and Shadows. And I guess you'd almost say from there on, the rest is history.
So you've touched upon it a little bit on who nurtured and sort of guided your interest, not only as a breeder, but you mentioned as a handler. So talk a little bit about some of your mentors and friends and family and a little bit about each that you want to talk about. That would be interesting.
Well, actually, like I said before, that Alice and Walter were really the first ones that got us interested in breeding to a good dog. And we did get interested in Cockers. And at that time, Rosalie's brother, Bob, and Meg Heerdink were showing Chihuahuas. And they were bred and showing Chihuahuas. And in fact, they were instrumental in getting the coats separated into separate varieties. They bred the long coats, and it seemed like the long coats couldn't compete with the short coats, so they started a separate variety, and they got us interested in the showing and so on and so forth. And like I say, it was Walter and Alice that really got us going on the right path.
Hmm. So they're the primary people that sort of guided you along the way to get
started. Well, at that time, yes. It just, as I say, that many years after that, when I got into professional handling, naturally there's a lot of people involved in our lives and so on and so forth. But Cockers, at that time, like I say, Rosalie was the beginning and showing in obedience and breeding properly and so on and so forth. And that's how we really got involved.
Hmm. So looking back on all that history, what do you know now that you wish you had known then in the 2020 hindsight, so to speak?
Well, as I said before, start with a good cocker bitch. Instead of don't make the mistake that we made and buy from a pet shop, and you know, that kind of goes down the drain. But if you're more interested in the showing of the Cocker Spaniel, improving the breed, start with a good one.
That's probably the key thing that you would suggest to everybody?
Well, I would suggest that. And, of course, breed to the standard, and don't try to breed something and then try to change the standard to what you're breeding. Just breed to the standard. The standard is a good one.
Good. Okay. So the next question that I'd like to talk about is a little longer intro. But the world today for dog breeders and dog shows is I know, far different from cultural and, you know, government standpoint than it was 65 years ago when you started, even 20 years ago probably. So do you think these challenges, had they existed when you started, would have changed the way your dog interests developed?
I think the biggest problem we're having today is with the animals' rights groups, and they're fighting the breeders that are out there trying to improve the breed. Actually, I think we're the solution. We're not the problem. But the animals' rights people are interfering with what people are trying to do. Of course, everybody has their own opinion, but the AKC has changed a lot also in our long lifetime, and doing away with the AKC licensed handlers. Everybody seemed to become a handler, and every dog became a show dog. I fought long and hard against the American Kennel Club when they took in the so-called all-American dog. And, you know, this is an organization made of purebred dogs, and you try to improve those dogs and so on and so forth. If that had existed at the beginning, it might have swayed me a little bit, but I doubt it.
Mm-hmm. What do you advise people who are trying to begin in Cockers today, besides, get a good bitch, et cetera? What else, considering how things have changed since when you started, what would you advise people today?
Well, like I say, breed to the standard and try to improve what you're breeding. And as previously stated, start with a good bitch, and as you can breed to any dog in the country, and just try to improve on the Cocker Spaniel or whatever you're breeding. Just don't breed dogs just to breed dogs. Just try to improve on what you're doing.
Yeah, Carl, I'm going to ask you a question that isn't written down here, but just sort of interesting. A lot of the old breeders when I started suggested that as a small kennel, you shouldn't keep a stud dog for the very reason that you said. You keep the best bitch, and you breed it, and you can breed it to any dog. And so for that reason, it isn't wise to keep a stud dog. Would you say that as well?
Well, I kind of see that. And of course, you know, good dogs are far and few between, in my opinion.
Right.
If you get a good dog and a good show dog, well, you hang on to it. But again, the bitch is the more important part of your breeding program.
Yeah, that's it. If it's a great dog, I guess why would you get rid of it? But, you know, not all dogs are great.
Well, I know. It's kind of difficult. The litter that we had when we did breed, got a good bitch to Julie and bred her to Barney, and we only had the one male out of the litter. The rest were bitches, and put the Champion Carl's Party Crasher, and to us he was a great one. He finished in 7 consecutive shows undefeated, had 3 varieties over specials and group second, the winner of the West Coast Cocker Spaniel Club Futurity all by the time he was a year of age, and he was the sire of 14 champions, and so yes, I would hang on to him, and he added a lot to our lives.
Yeah. Yes, and the only boy in an all-girl litter.
That's right. That's right. It we did not repeat the breeding, but it was just difficult to do at that time. How are you going to improve? So, mm-hmm. but anyway, he added a lot to our lives.
So, Carl, this is kind of hard after 65 years, but it's a good question. That's why I share it with you ahead of time to give it some thought. But of all the accomplishments that you've had through your career, what achievements are you most proud of, and tell me more about them?
Well, as I said, I became we are life members of the American Spaniel Club, and among all the things, I kept pondering over that also. And I think being elected to be president of the American Spaniel Club by the members is at the top. It really ranks at the top. And in all those years, the two terms, I fought long and hard to preserve the integrity of the Cocker, and I still do. I still do. So, but I think that's at the top, being president of the American Spaniel Club.
Great. Well, what else? Would you have a number two as well, Carl? Or?
Oh, yeah, that's number two. It's, I became a professional handler and showed a lot of cockers and finished a lot of dogs. And one of the top dogs that I handled and remember was 1971 champion Hijack Holy Smoke, which was bred by Jack and Gene Fowler and owned by Dr. Owen Young. And I won the went to Mexico City, went to the World Dog Show in Mexico City, and I won the Gun God Group with the Black Cocker, and that is up there also. And I think the other thing that I remember mostly was going to our first American Spaniel Club on the East Coast, and that was aided by Dick Beauchamp, actually, and Beaumonde Cockers, and the spokesman of magazine out here. We held a Southern California tournament each year, and the winner of that tournament was sent back to the American Spaniel Club, and fortunately I won that, and we took the first trip back to the American Spaniel Club.
Hmm. I remember you coming with those aluminum crates, which, of course, being on the East Coast, we all had wooden crates. So those
right,
were
yeah, the
unique.
McGee crates, they were called, and they were the metal crates made out of aluminum.
Yep.
Right here in Southern California, and they were good to travel in, and it made it much easier to do to travel with dogs in those that type of crate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it was most unusual because there was nobody on the East Coast who was using those. It was only West Coast. You and Dee Dee and some other folks, you know, that would come from the West had those.
Right,
crates.
We all should
remember
that. You know, what was strange to us also, coming from the West Coast and having a common exercise pen, we weren't used to that either. You know, I have the sawdust in a common crate and so in a common pen area and, especially with sawdust and the long-coated dogs and so on and so forth. That kind of took us back a little bit, but we got used to it.
And you didn't have any bathing facilities.
No. Well, you know, when we were handling it, they didn't have bathing facilities back then either. And you went to a dog show, you didn't have blow dryers, you didn't have anything, powder, the chalk. It's a whole different ball game. So it's... We learned.
Mm-hmm. So to all of your successes, so what do you attribute your successes in breeding and then in handling as well? And then also talk a little bit about judging, because you've done that as well.
Actually, Rosalie was more or less more instrumental behind the whole project with her encouragement and so on and so forth. We were able to go on to this, and we have judged, both of us have judged the American Spaniel Club as judges, and we both have judged Westminster Kennel Club, and I judged Cocker there, and Cocker won the group, who she'll go nameless at this time, but because I don't remember it.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, we're very, very fortunate in the dog game, and the Cocker Spaniels have been very good to us, and we've been fortunate enough to travel all over the world and judging from various countries, 7 or 8 different countries, and it's been a very, very good life for us, and it's lasted a long time, and we enjoyed it.
Well, it was great to have you have you as, you know, part of it. That's a long history of you two together, and very, very memorable, too. So,
well, we celebrate our 65th anniversary on Valentine's Day, and Cocker Spaniels, more or less, you know, the common interest that keeps the family together. And we do have had four children together, and, of course, Greg has gone on to be a handler and a judge and so on and so forth, and, of course, we were proud of that also. Everything just fell into place.
Mm. Yeah, Cockers were a part of your whole marriage.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. It started way back. We had dogs actually before we had kids. Like I said, Rosalie had to have a Cocker right off the beginning, and then John was first, and Greg was second, and Carla, and then Karen, and going back to the Spaniel Club and doing this sort of thing, it takes a little doing, and having kennel property and so on and so forth, we had to make sure everything was in place.
Mm-hmm. So of all the Cockers that you bred or you knew, are there any individual dogs that are especially memorable? Now, you did mention
mentioned Crash. It's our own Party Color Cocker.
Right. Right.
And, of course, I did mention the champion Holy Smoke Dog, which won the Gun Dog Group in Mexico City in 1971 in the World Dog Show. Mm-hmm. I was very proud of that. And also the champion Wilmar's Nightcap was the dog I won with at the tournament to go back to our first ASC show in 1964. Mm-hmm. And we took Crash along to that show also, and we were showing in the champion parade alongside of Norman Austin and Fancy Parade in the champion parade, and also Teddy Young and Rise and Shine. And it was just a very, very memorable show. And it just, we just went from there, and it just, you know, we met people that you knew but didn't know, and meeting all these various people from the Cocker Spaniel Club, from the American Spaniel Club. And it seems like we were kind of divided. There was an East Coast and a West Coast, and you know, finally, we all got together, and East met the West, or West met the East, whichever comes first.
Yeah, well, that was in the days, I think, before airplane travel, right, and the Internet.
Well, you know, this is true. Yeah. When I mentioned about Crash having 14 champions and top one in Cocker for the next 3 years, all this was done within 500 miles. Mm-hmm. You know, you just didn't have the travel that we have today. And it seems like today everybody's just traveling all over the place with their own private airplanes and this sort of thing, and it pays to advertise and what have you. So, but it was a good life for us, and you know, fortunately, it wasn't my livelihood. But we certainly enjoyed it, and judging together all over the world, and so on and so forth. It's just something I will never forget.
So you mentioned some mentors in our conversation thus far. Are there any other individual people in, you know, your career that sort of stand out for you that you'd like to talk about?
Well, Elaine Lamar and Elaine and Lucius Lamar Kennels, they were up in Petaluma area. They were very instrumental in at the very, very beginning. We did have a Cocker that we were showing, and we didn't know why it wasn't winning and this sort of thing. And they've got Elaine Lamar, and she's also went over our dog. We learned anatomy. Anyway, you have to excuse me. Elaine Lamar was very helpful. The Doties were very helpful at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Mary Doty and Norm and Norm Cockers. And,
yeah, so for those that don't
just,
know, Norm.
There's a lot of people out there that we learn from.
Yeah, Norm and Mary Doty had the Cocker Leader? No, the Cocker Review.
The American Cocker Review.
Right.
Yeah, in fact, during the years later, Rosalie wrote several articles in there, one about a bit of nostalgia, talking about her first trip to the American Spaniel Club, and then also Crash is featured in there as one of the great American show dogs, and she had quite a magazine. I was sorry to see it go.
Mm. Yeah, it was the magazine, yeah.
Yeah, American Cocker Review. And just, of course, Michael Allen, when we were up north, we brought all her dogs down to Southern California when she moved back down to Southern California in our rig, and she got settled, and she took over the ACR and this sort of thing, but that also went by the wayside. In fact, even today, John Garrison and Michael Allen, she started the Cavaliers magazine, and we still get that. Yeah, we still get that magazine. So.
Oh, that's still going?
Yeah, that's still going, the Cavaliers, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
About the Cavalier yeah. Spaniels, but not the nothing about the Cockers. So
mm-hmm. Right.
It just, the Cocker magazines have gone by the wayside. And, of course, you know, our whole show game today is different than it was 30 years ago, and with the AKC doing away with the handling and so on and so forth. It just... entries have gone down. The intricacies have depleted a little bit. We've got to get that built back up. So, but where we go from here, we'll have to see.
That's it.
Okay.
We'll have to see. So you've talked a lot about some shows and some wins and events that were especially memorable. I think one of the ones that you just mentioned was going back to the Spaniel Club and being in the ring with Rise and Shine, Carmore's Rise and Shine, and Pintop's Fancy Parade, which were two outstanding Cockers with long
right.
histories. Rise and Shine, I think, he was best in show at Westminster, right?
Right, right.
And then Fancy Parade was Black and Tan.
And shown by Norman.
Norman Austin.
But I remember when Norman came out here with Fancy Parade at Pasadena and Major Godzilla was judging Pasadena, and he put the Cockers 1, 2, 3. Fancy
oh.
number one. So, but the you know, and then we separated the colors. The colors were separated. The black and tans, the Ascobs, the Buffs couldn't compete with the black and tans, so they put them in the black variety. And then we have a height disqualification. The little ones couldn't beat the big ones, so we put in a height disqualification. No bottom, just a top, and so on and so forth. But like I said before, that you know, if we breed to the standard is a good standard to follow. And if you breed to the standard and improve your breeding and improve your cocker, you can't go wrong.
It's easier said than done.
Yeah, I know. I understand what you're saying. So I understand what you're saying. You know, it really bothers me today to see our cockers with these long tails in the ring. I just can't accept that. I just, our standard doesn't call for it. And but they're winning. They're winning. But that's the way it goes. And the AKC backs them up. So what can you do?
Well, part of that is due to countries that have outlawed
right,
you know, tail
right.
docking.
This, is the biggest problem also is
right.
the outlawing of this
right.
by other countries. So,
which isn't the breeders' fault. It's the fault of, you know, those governments that decide
right.
to do that, which is why we need to fight.
Well,
here.
What doesn't
just,
make sense
you know,
is like they can come here and show, but we can't go there and show.
Yeah, that's
so you got the dock tail and the cropped ears, you can't show.
Yeah,
so but they
there.
Can come here and show. But but anyway,
yep.
anyway, to each his own.
Yep. So looking back over your extensive life with Cockers, which really were preceded your marriage almost, and been there longer than the kids. Is there anything else you want to share with the listeners here that we haven't talked about, Carl?
Well, I think we've covered. I have covered the base of breeding to the standard and start with a good bitch and breed a good one and follow the advice that we were given and just try to continue to improve. That's all.
Well, thank you, Carl. You know, we did get to talk about some of the old-time dogs as well, so I'm always glad to have that as people need to put, you know, those into perspective. And I want to thank you so much for sharing this story with us today. As you know, we post these up on the ASC website, and we thank you for being part of this oral history project.
Well, I appreciate your thinking of me, and like I say, it has been a long, good life for both of us. Without Cockers as a common base, It certainly has extended our lives. And I appreciate it, and thank you very much.
Well, great to hear that, Carl. Hang on just a moment. Let me finish this up. All right, folks. That's it for today with Carl Anderson. Thank him so much for taking the time out to talk with us. And best regards, and look for this up on the website soon. Thank you very much.